happy Wednesday and happy Inauguration Day. Okay. Now, this was not, I'm telling you, this is not just a normal Inauguration Day. This is a highly emotional day. I cried so much this morning. Literally.
Girl, yes.
I cried so much because, and I'm going to get into why I cried in a minute, but today, President Joe Biden was sworn into office with the homegirl of homegirls, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris.
All right, all right.
Woo-hoo, okay.
So big.
How does that sound? Oh, I'm getting emotional now just thinking about it, truthfully.
Mm.
And I was telling somebody earlier that this is not a matter of Democratic versus Republican versus Libertarian versus Independent versus Green Party. It has nothing to do with that. This is about history being made.
Being made. Mm-hmm.
One for us women and one for blacks.
Yes.
Now tell me
talk
that's
about
not
black girls rock.
Okay.
Yes, God.
That thing is powerful. I don't care what political party you rock with. If you as a woman did not feel pride when you looked at that beautiful, Kamala Harris is beautiful.
She is a
beautiful woman getting sworn in today. She looks so humble and so appreciative and so thankful for the opportunity that was given to her. Something is wrong with you. Honestly.
Yes.
And I heard a lot of negative things. Go ahead.
Negative? Who said that?
Really? Yeah, go with that.
Yeah, oh my goodness. I heard negative things from our people, which really upset me.
Oh, God.
Really?
Upsetting me and my homegirls. What you mean?
Yep, she's going to be worse than Joe Biden, right? I mean, than Donald Trump. She's going to be worse than Donald Trump and Melania, right? Married to that white man.
Yeah.
Married to that white man. How are you going to lead us as a people married to that white man? We could have done better than Trump and Melania. These were things that I was seeing on social media.
Online. Oh, wow.
On social media.
You know.
Don't you think that she's all
of
us? Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. She's not going to do any better than Michelle Obama did when she was in office with her husband. What?
Well,
first of all, we were mad about it, and it like struck a nerve because like I just said a few minutes ago, at the end of the day, no matter who you rock with, history was made today.
Literally.
Bottom line.
And
absolutely. Bottom line, straight, no chaser.
At all. And, I mean, my whole thing is if you don't have pride in anything else as a woman, you know what I mean, as a woman of color, because Kamala is, you know, she is who she is, you should feel some sense of pride. And we should all be having those conversations with our daughters. Like, girl, look at this. Like, look what you can do. You can set your mind to be anything. The fact that a woman is in office, who can be upset with that? Why are you mad?
Right.
Like, that's insane.
Right.
That's insane.
And a colored woman.
Right. At that. You know, mixed race colored woman in office. Like, come on.
Wait. Did you say colored?
I did.
Come on, man.
That's what I said.
I made it no better because I went right with her, too.
they did. I just started laughing. One of the reasons that I got emotional was I was thinking about my mom.
Mm.
And I was thinking about how my mom loved her some Barack Obama. Couldn't nobody tell my mother that Barack Obama was not her husband? That was her man. That was not Michelle's man. Michelle was borrowing him from my mother, okay? And the pride
she
that she had, she did. Now, my mother grew up in the Civil Rights Movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in the Civil Rights Movement.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that she experienced did not compare to what it is that we're going through today. So I remember when Barack was sworn in, I was sitting on the phone with her because I had just had Cameron not too long before that, like a couple months before then. So I was at home holding Cameron, and my mom was on the phone in tears. My mother never cried. Never cried. She was on the phone with me in tears. We're one step closer, babe. We are one step closer. So to know that we go through Trump, right, horrible. To go through having Trump, right, and she passed away before Trump became president, but to have Trump in the White House and then to now be on the other side of it, I know she would have just, like, rejoiced. So that's, like, part of, like, why I was so emotional today, too, because I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
So.
Aww.
Yeah, but
it was
an amazing day.
Yeah.
It really was amazing.
You know, and I think it's important that people, it is noted that people felt the hope. You know, like I feel like in that moment, like this morning, it just felt like a day of hope. It just felt fresh. Like on my timelines, I didn't see any of that negativity. It was people just like crying and sharing and hopeful and what things could be in the future. And that was just amazing to see because it's been so long since I've seen that, even on social media or even in conversation, like even at work, like people were just really upbeat about it. And it was like, man, like this collective experience that we're sharing has never happened. The fact that, like, you know, Judge Sonia Sotomayor, she brought Kamala in, like she swore her in. That was amazing to me. That has never happened woman to woman before. And I felt like that needed to be acknowledged, you know, and it was just all these like precious moments that happened today that were just so meaningful. And I think that you can't overshadow that. Like you can't skip that because this is a time when we need that the most.
And I noticed the across the room interaction between Michelle Obama and Vice President Kamala, like just the vibe that they were sending each other was just like so dope. Like there was one particular moment where they caught a side by side where you see in Michelle's eyes where she's just pointing at her like, you go girl, you did this. Like you just felt that. I don't know if it was a sister thing, but I felt it.
It was. It was a sister thing. It was totally
sure.
It was totally a UNITY, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are going to take this country by storm, right? And I also feel like the Obamas, with their wisdom and with their experience, they're still going to be very, very close to this administration. They're not done yet.
We haven't
seen the last of Barack and Michelle. That's all I'll say. Now, before we do our intros, we're going to talk about these outfits because, honey,
come through.
Who won outfit of the day was Michelle Obama. Nobody compared to what Michelle was so fine today. It was ridiculous. Like,
she did.
It was unfair. It was unfair.
First of all,
and just
getting
the confidence.
To how her and Barack walked in, the way, the finesse, the swagger, everything was
the swagger,
on 200.
Yes.
They came in, Barack came in like, yeah, this me. And she just came in like, gave
like,
us
you see
everything.
Me.
Yes. I was, listen, first of all, get into the monochromatic color scheme of her whole.
Let's start looking at my closet today.
Listen, I'm already like, now what can I put together?
I already started on that. Like, let me put
literally, legit
this together.
And it's like
together.
It was effortless. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it was effortless. It wasn't over the top. Like she came through, effed it up, and walked and left. That's it. That's all.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
It's something about the confidence in her walk for me. She's just got this confident, powerful walk. Like, I'm going to walk through you. I see you, but I'm walking through you. Give me chills. She got that what?
Mm-hmm. Got that juice. That's it.
Got that juice. Yeah. Whatever you call it, she got it.
even J-Lo, may your voice rest in peace. Even her look is on point. But J-Lo's look is always on point.
Oh, yes.
One thing I can say about J-Lo is that when it comes to the fashion department, whoever styles her the right way. She's always been an icon when it comes to fashion. No matter how crazy some people may think it is, she pulls it off, and she pulls it off well. So that white that she wore, right? I mean, Dr. Jill Biden, come on now.
Jill,
and she's always so elegant.
She was so
elegant and glamorous.
Yeah, she was
right?
adorable.
Who did we have? Hillary Clinton came through. She got her hair done.
She was really nice.
We also had Laura Bush.
She was okay.
Laura Bush was there. They all just came through with their own style and their own way, and they all owned it. I appreciated that. I really did. And they came together again, no matter
You know what? It wouldn't have been Lady Gaga if she didn't have something outrageous on. But that baby had a whole bird, okay?
But
then on her chest was a brooch. Okay? Let's talk about that.
It was outrageously her. Yeah, for sure.
I wouldn't have expected anything different, but that was a bird. That was a whole bird.
It was nuts, definitely. the moral of the story is that we all appreciated it. We loved it. I'm going to watch it again, the inauguration. I'm going to watch it on YouTube again. My children watched it. It was a pivotal moment in history, and I would really hope that people moving forward, they would think about what the real message was. That's it.
Right.
Oh, and before we go on to the next thing we're going to talk about, Amanda Gorman, the young 22-year-old, beautiful poet. Drop the mic.
Ridiculous.
I mean, so poised and elegant and spoke so eloquently. I was floored by this entire inauguration. I was floored.
Yes.
So,
and about that poet.
Pass off to the producer.
This is the first day. Right. This is the first day of the rest of her life. Like, it's only up from here. She's about to soar. Like, we're not going to see the last of her by far.
She's
only 22.
Next week. She's a baby.
For sure.
Her book releases next week. It'll be sold out in 5 minutes.
Exactly.
Okay,
I'm on that.
She's only 22 years old. You know, she's a baby, I just think that was just amazing for her to be a part of it. And, you know, what's funny is that she's the youngest poet to participate in the inauguration.
Today is the first day of the rest of her life, literally.
It is the first day of the rest of her life. You let somebody like Oprah get a hold of it.
Please don't let Oprah get a hold of it.
Oprah's already commented on her and compared her to Maya. So, hey,
it's over.
It's
up from
here. Compared her to Maya Angelou.
Absolutely. Exactly. She's kind of sore.
For sure. Now, we got through all that. We cannot forget about the introductions. Y'all already know that this is the In the Thick podcast and talk show. My name is Heather D, and I am joined tonight by my people. These are my people. These are my core people, right? And tonight's episode, you guys are going to understand a little more, at least from me, on why these are my core people. But I have tonight, I have Victoria. Hey,
Victoria.
Hey. Vicky said, wait a minute. Then we have my little
I had to decide which hey I was going to use.
Then we have Fallon.
Hey, y'all. Hey.
Yes. And last but absolutely, certainly not least, we have one of the original members of the In the Thick podcast joining us tonight.
Wow.
We are filled with so much joy. Yes. She branched off. She wanted to do her own thing. We support her 100%. Her podcast is amazing. We have my sister cousin on the line, and this is just PTT.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome back.
Right.
Now, Pete is the host of the It's Tea Time podcast. And when I tell you, I am always in tears during this podcast, okay? I have had the opportunity to co-host a couple of times. The ladies and I were on for an In the Thick reunion special to close out 2020. It was amazing. This show is awesome. I'm so excited. You are going to soar. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Aw, all the feels. Aww. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure. Now, tonight's episode, it's going to get a little serious, I think. What do you guys think? Uh-oh. You guys think it's going to get a little serious?
Possibly.
No?
Am I the word transparent?
Transparency. We like transparency. Honesty, yes. Transparency, candor. How about that? We got some candor that's going to be involved tonight. And the title of this episode is called Thank You for Being a Friend.
Travel through the world and back again.
I knew it.
Shout out to the Golden Girl.
If nobody's going to give us a jingle, it's going to be T.
That's what I do.
Yes. So I want to get into friendship categories because I feel like people have it twisted. Number one, you cannot call everyone your friend.
Holy.
You absolutely cannot.
Come on.
I am never going to call everyone my friend. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Okay. So as I was doing a little bit of research, right, when we decided that we were going to record this particular episode, I came across four core types of friendships. Okay. That being acquaintance, friend, close friend, and best friend. Okay? There was the writer of this article, it was in Marie Claire. She states, the level of friendship deepens as the level of reciprocity and mutual respect and affection grow. Mic drop. That's it in a nutshell. That's
a word.
I'll allow it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'll
there
allow
are
it.
absolutely. There are so many levels to friendship, and I think that's why people consistently get into situations with friends that have either ruined their lives. Real talk. Have ruined their lives.
Yeah.
Have ruined relationships. Right. That's why I said this thing is going to get emotional tonight because we've all experienced some level of bullshit in a friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of us deal with it longer than others, but we've all either experienced it or been so close to it to where we see it, we back all the way up. And I'm a back all the way up type of person. I'm gonna if you wrong me in any way, I am going to ignore you like God never made you, and I have no problem doing that. Not as my friend, especially when you know better. Now, if you're my acquaintance, okay, you know acquaintance, they don't really know any better. But once you come into that deeper, we're going levels and we're traveling life together, and you become friend, close friend, best friend, and even further than that, I don't play those games. I don't. What do you guys think about that? We'll go with C.
Girl. So, the thing for me is that I'm closer to a lot of my friends than I am with family members. You know, my first, let me back up a little bit. One of my best friends is my baby sister, you know, so I don't have a lot of girl cousins like in my age bracket that are here. My girl cousins that are in this age bracket are back home. So, you know, when we see each other, it's on. But here, I don't have that. So my baby sister and I are only 5 years apart. So we've been best friends since before she even took her first breath outside of the womb. people find it hard to believe that we've never had a fist fight. We barely even really have disagreed too much. We do. We just, you know, give each other some space for a day or two, and then it's just that. But mm-hmm. as far as friends have gone, I legit have been friends with the same people since I was 13. So if you see me on social media, you're going to always see me with the same group of people. Now, I have a lot of acquaintances and networks and people that I know and stuff like that, but friends is everybody that you're going to always see me with. You all are my newest bunch of friends, as opposed to the old crew, the OGs, since we were 13, literally. And I'm proud to say that, you know, and that's just how I am. Yeah, that's just what T is with it.
Mm-hmm. Vicky, what about you?
You know, this is a lesson I had to learn probably in the last, like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years. I mean, especially because I'm an only child, and only children either want to connect with everyone or no one. There's, like, no in between. Yes. So, like, you know.
I just had to let that out real quick.
I mean, I get it. Because, you know, y'all know me. And y'all know my kumbaya personality. And so, like, you know, the majority of my life, I was just out here trying to acquire as many friends as I could. Like, because I didn't have any siblings, you know. And I'm better at it now than I was as a kid. I absolutely felt that way. But on the flip side of that, though, as an adult, I'm much closer to the people I've met in the last 15 years than the people that I grew up with. So I have, like, the opposite experience as T. And the whole, like, categories of friends, that was something I really had to learn, because some friends can't be your real friends. They could be your acquaintances. You know, they definitely can't be when it crosses into, like, best friend family. But I just kind of would take on friends and be like, well, they're great. And then as I find out other things about them, they would kind of move further down the category. And then they would end up being an acquaintance. And so, like, I had to relearn that whole system. So I think for some people, it's really complicated, because depending on how you look at friendship, you may not get that philosophy off the rip. You may have to really learn it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you learn it through messed up situations and people who you think are your friends doing you dirty. And that always sucks. So that's kind of where I am at it.
Right. Okay. What about you, Sal?
Okay, well, for starters, I learned at a very early age.
Sorry.
I knew you were going to. I always love you.
I always start laughing when Fallon begins, but go ahead.
Okay, so for starters, I learned at a very early age. I was taught, you know, everybody's not your friend. And just like you, see, my sister is, like, my absolute heart and one of my very, very best friends. And watching her through her friendships sort of taught me how to navigate the friendship, I guess, lane or whatever. And you would think, coming from an all-girls school, I've got, like, a plethora of, you know, good girlfriends and all of that. But that was not the case for me at all. I actually met my, to this day, best friend at church. And, you know, the funny thing is, we didn't even like each other in the beginning. But now, you know, you can't separate us for anything. And I think that what's most important for me for friendship is that you need to know that that person is just as invested as you. Because I have found myself over the years, I'm more invested. You know, I think it's a saying, like, you'll know what place you hold in someone's life when you stop reaching out. And I had to learn that probably in my 20s as I became, you know, an independent adult. And I'm like, yep, I got this girlfriend. But then, you know, if I stopped reaching out, you know, it was like, dang, I haven't talked to her in 3 months. You know, so I had to learn to control my investment in friends. Not that I was trying to acquire friends like Miss Vicky, but, you know, you end up spending a lot of time with someone. You guys, you know, have the same views. You end up talking on the phone a lot. And then it's now all of a sudden we're friends. But that also goes back to just being seasonal friends. So I think we do need to touch on that also. Because just because you were there, you know, in 2012, don't mean you made it to 2021. So I think keep your core people close. And, you know, whoever falls by the wayside, let them fall. Don't be mad. Don't hold a grudge. But it could have just been a seasonal friend.
Right. Yeah. I think, like, for me, I have had seasonal friends in transition throughout my entire life, right? Now I have a couple of friends now that we have been, and I'm not talking about Facebook friends, because people are quick to say, like, the Facebook friends that when you guys went to preschool, you know, grammar school, high school, whatever, together are your friends. Those people are not your friends, unless they're your people. So I think we need to have an understanding when it comes to that, you know. But there are friends that I've had since I was younger, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, that to this day we are friends. They may not live here in Chicago anymore, but they are still my friend. I am still their friend, right? But then I got to high school, and high school was very interesting for me because I had friends in the hood, and then I had friends in the Beverly, Evergreen Park, Oaklawn area as well, right? So those are two different kinds of friends. So I had the friends that I did the BS with, you know, on the other side of the tracks, and then I had the Catholic school girlfriends, right?
There you go.
Went to college, ended up getting married, and the person I was married to didn't want me to have any friends but him.
Who?
Yeah.
That's a whole other show.
Speak your truth.
That's a whole other show. But it's very true. He don't want me to be friends with friends or family. You know.
Let's ask this. Was you guys friends first, or did you go into it with the intent of dating?
I didn't even like him at first. Like, he was my homeboy.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He was my homeboy at first. Like, we were cool.
Did he know,
you know?
He was your homeboy?
Right.
I explained it thoroughly. I explained it thoroughly to him. But at any rate, so went through that whole situation, and I would say that the friends that I have now, including family, because I'm extremely close with certain members of my family, Fallon being one of them, I would say that these relationships are the most important relationships to me. There is nothing that I would not do for one of you guys right now. It's not. There's nothing that I could think of that I'd be like, you know what, I'm not going to do this for Vicky, Fallon, or T. I would be surprised, right? Like, I go hard for my people. I get very emotional about my people because they're my heart. You know what I'm saying? So just wanted to put that out there. What I do want to go into next is, thank you. Well, I know that. I know that you do. And I have no doubt. You all have proven it many, many times. What I do want to go into next is Vicky's category, which is no new friends. And I think this is going to be kind of funny, actually.
You know, it's funny. I feel like at the first of the year, we always see people's, like, you know, resolutions. They're like, man, I'm going to love everybody better. I'm going to be more present. And by March, you see the no new friends meme. I don't know who all these people are, but you know what? I'm going to stay with my core people right here because I do no new friends. And it was funny. I was talking to my therapist. Shout out to Lakeisha. And we were talking about friendship.
Let me interrupt you really quickly. And I know we don't do interruptions. I just want to talk about Lakeisha real quick. Okay? Now, Lakeisha is Vicky's therapist. one thing I believe in is if you're a black woman, you should have a black therapist. And there's no one blacker than Lakeisha. That's all I wanted to say.
All day. All day.
Shout out to black therapist.
I just want to go ahead.
Let me tell you something. We had some very real conversations. And so we were talking about friendships, and we're kind of talking about, like I was talking about earlier, how I started in friendships and how I operate now. And I was explaining to her that, like, there's such a, like, strong divide between people who are like, I'm out here, I'm trying to do something different. Maybe relationships and friendships didn't work out how I planned. I'm trying to meet new people and get new friends. And then you got the other side that's like, mm-mm. I've been with the same people for 30 years, 20 years, 15 years. I'm not trying to acquire any new friends. And it's like, so, like, where do y'all land on that argument? And I challenged myself to think about it, too, but I want to hear what you guys' thoughts are first. So, Fowl always gives me a good presentation, so I'm going to go ahead and go to her first.
All right. Love that. So, I believe that with the new... no new friends or new friends, period. I stand on the end where who's supposed to be in my life is going to be in my life. And I've been trying to feel that way since in being transitioned in so many factors in my life over the last few years. So I'm not necessarily going to say no new friends, but there has to be something beneficial here. And I'm not saying that I'm being an opportunist at all. I'm saying that there has to mutually be a respect and love for each other in order for us to be in a friendship at this point in my life. You're not doing anything for me. You're not, and once again, not saying I'm an opportunist, but if you're not contributing anything healthy and positive in my life, I mean, you do need a turn up friend, so sometimes that's not healthy. But if you're, you know, if there's nothing positive I can say that you're bringing to my life, then no, you sail with that. Well, whomever you've been with, you know. But if you know, say I'm entering a new arena, a new industry, or, you know, into the podcasting world even, that, and then, you know, we cross paths and there's something that just clicks. Sometimes you just click with people. And I know it's not only me, but sometimes I click with people in the grocery store. Like, I'll be sitting there talking like, girl, we should be friends, but then you know you shouldn't do that. But y'all know y'all done got into a conversation with people at the grocery store. You'd be like, huh, I had a whole conversation with this lady like she knew my life.
No, because I don't talk to people when I go outside. So, no, I have not involved in a conversation.
What you mean, Heather?
I do not talk to people like that. I don't. When I see people outside, I don't talk to them.
Listen, okay, you well, are missing some great conversation.
You weirdo.
Y'all know Heather is anti-socialist.
Right.
She don't know people. So you introduce her to, if you tell her somebody else is coming, she's like, who's that? And then I'm just like, calm down. It's so-and-so. You know, she's like, do we like her? Like, who is this? You know, she got to feel people out. So Heather don't talk to people. I believe. She is not that person.
Oh, my goodness. Well, like I said, outside of that weirdo, there's certain people that you just click with. There's certain people you just click with. And then, you know, you see where that takes you. It could just be you left that conversation at the grocery store, you move on with your life. Or, you know, say it's, you know, a coworker or something, or, you know, maybe your partner's cousin or something like that. You just click with people and you grow with it. So I'm not necessarily saying no new friends, but there has to be a mutual benefit. It can't just be, you know, I'm pouring into you and you're not pouring into me. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That's totally fair. T, what you thinking?
Yeah. I'm on the same wavelength with Al. I don't ever want to maybe potentially block a blessing because you never know. I believe that people, you know, are designed to be in your life for a reason or a season. So, but I'm not going to use that friend word. You know, I'm very cautious mm-hmm. with that. So you may very well become a new acquaintance or a new, you know, workspace partner or a new network or, you know, something like that. But the friend card, you got to get there first. So I And I'm cautious about that, you know, because friendship is serious to me. I am super passionate about my friends, you know, drive me crazy and stuff like that. But I don't use the term friend lightly, you know, so I'm very careful. I tread lightly with that. So I'm open to new relationships, but we got to build that thing up. We got to build that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally fair.
It's something about when you say thing that just lights my day up. Just that country twang in her voice when she say thing. It's just like, wow.
Oh, Lord. Heather Dizzle.
Right. Feel okay, deep, so I'm coming through.
I would say for moi, I am not necessarily the no new friends type of person. I am just very, very observant of how you move. I got to watch your movements. I got to watch your setup. I have to watch who you communicate with before I let you into my world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My world is something very special and guarded to me. So not everybody is going to get a piece of that. Not everyone is going to get that experience. So this is why I say that it would take a while for me to make a new friend. Because I don't deal with people like that. Like, I will never be friends with anybody that I work with ever in life.
Been there, done that. Never again.
No, mm-mm. Not going to do that. Thanks. Never, never, never again. I did that one time, and I say, you know what? Not going back there. Now, I will say that in 2017 or 2018, I did make a new friend. I made a new friend. I love this woman. I think she is amazing. You guys have heard me talk about her. You guys have met her. Her name is Tiffany Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I met Tiffany through another friend, a mutual friend of ours, and it was because Tiffany was putting together an event and she needed some help. So this friend said, hey, I'm going to hook you up with Heather. That's my girl. This is what she does, right? Me and Tiffany start talking, we hit it off, and ever since then, we have just been close, close, close. And it didn't really take long because we have the same type of spirit, and we are very like-minded, and we love extremely hard. And we want to see the best in everyone, right? So I can absolutely say that Tiffany is my friend. So, Tiffany, when you listen to this podcast, I don't want you to get emotional, little girl. But that's what I'll say. And it didn't take me long to determine that because I was like, oh, she's so dope. Like, oh, okay, I like her immediately. Like, immediately, right away, first few minutes, I like this girl. So it doesn't happen like that all the time for me. So I know that when it does happen, it has to be God-ordained. It has to be. It has to be because I did. I lost a friend over the past year and a half or two that I was friends with for a really long time because she did me dirty. And I won't bring up what she did on the podcast, but she did me dirty. And I found out that it had to do with jealousy, right? So after I had threatened to beat her ass a few times, and I know Vicky probably tried not to laugh, but after I had threatened to beat her ass a few times, I said, you know what, as opposed to me doing this, I'm just going to end our friendship. But I told her why I was ending it. She wasn't surprised by it. She wasn't surprised that I stopped talking to her. I'll let you know exactly why I am ending this friendship and exactly what you did and the chances that I gave you. So I also think that if we're going to decide to be, like, that we're not going to be friends with someone, we do need to have that conversation with them.
Oh, absolutely.
No, I disagree.
I think if that person, and I'm going to let you go next week, but if that person was important to you at any stage of your life, if you decide that you are not going to be friends with them, I feel like you should let them know why we're not rocking anymore.
I agree.
So you go.
Well, now, we can have a conversation once, because what I'm not going to do is keep talking to a grown-ass woman about situations like we in a relationship like that. So, you
of
know,
course.
When I say if we're not going to be friends anymore, that needs to be a conversation. No, I feel like we've already had probably a conversation or two or three and had to have some questionable moments. So at that point, once I get to, you know what, this is just stupid, I'm not having another conversation. I'm not breaking up with a friend. You know, my silence is good enough. And then if your silence is returned, well, then, shit, it is what it is. It's over, you know. So I'm not having multiple conversations with no grown woman. I'm just not. I'm not doing that. I'm not about to get up in arms and arguing.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing that.
Oh, we never arguing. We're not arguing. There's going to be
right.
no difficulty ever. No, we're not doing that, honey. But go ahead, Vicky.
But can I ask you something? So that brings up an interesting point to me about, like, friendship value. So you said, like, I'm not going to break up with a friend. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is something that I kind of think about a lot, because I feel like sometimes we don't, and I'm talking about meaningful friendships at this point. I feel like I'm willing to have multiple conversations with someone who is a meaningful friendship to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I say multiple conversations, I'm sorry, go ahead.
So what I was going to ask you was, do you think that sometimes we value friendships less than we do relationships, or are they just on the same level, just different?
So for me, I definitely value my friendships. You know, I wouldn't make it through a day without the friendships that I have. When I say I'm not going, we can have a conversation and discuss, but what I don't want to do is keep talking about the same thing over and over. You know, so if, and this is a loose example, so if you, you know, come over my house and you spend the night and you don't make the bed up after you getting ready to leave, we have a conversation about it, right? Then you come again and you do the same thing, because I have a mild case of OCD. Ain't nobody getting up and leaving without making this bed. You know, so, okay, we talked about it once. We talked about it twice. Now we've been talking about it three times. Now I feel like it's just blatant disrespect. You know what I mean? And that's what I mean by, you know, multiple conversations. Now, if it's something meaningful, like you said, Vicky, meaningful is different. Like if we have a misunderstanding or, you know, something like that. Now, I'm not ticking off, you know, if we have a misunderstanding or we need to have a come to Jesus conversation. That's fine, you know, but just silly things, I'm not going to keep doing that. I'm not doing that, you know. So that's what I mean by I'm not having multiple
that's
conversations.
Fair.
Yeah, that's what
fair.
I mean by that. Yeah.
Val, you going to say something?
Well, I think overall, I think when you posed your question for our opinion, you were definitely speaking of the more meaningful reasons to end the friendship. So definitely, you know, we're not going to go back and forth about, you know, you borrowed my car, you had it gone longer than an hour, like you said. Like, we're not going to argue about that. But if I feel that you wronged me, almost definitely you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about
it.
And if at the end of that, I feel like we need to separate or either draw some lines and set some boundaries. Like, okay, boo, you've been bumped down to acquaintance or associate, or now you just see me on Facebook, then so be it. You know, so be it. But as I said, I'm the type where I will definitely let you hang yourself. You know, if I've spoken to you about something that I felt wrong in or betrayed in, if I've spoken to you about it and either you don't hold yourself accountable, accountability is motherfucker too. Like, if you talk to somebody and then it's, oh, it's not me, it's you type of thing, then we have a problem. But if you are held accountable but you're not correcting yourself or correcting your behavior or moving forward to have it 17 more times, then, yeah, you got to bounce, homie. Like, you're not in the group no more. You just got kicked off the island.
Yeah.
So
you removed yourself.
I don't feel bad about that, but Exactly. But I definitely feel like, because I feel like on your next friendship, maybe you won't do this stupid shit you just did. So, yeah, I'm going to tell you that this was stupid shit, and I'm going to tell you I'm tired of your stupid shit. So that's where I stand with it. There will definitely be a conversation. But if it's in the case, as I was saying earlier, where I'll just stop reaching out and then I don't feel no action or energy from you anymore, then that's enough said. But if you've wronged me, you're going to hear about it.
Right.
And that's how Mary had a little lamb. Boom.
Okay. Two lambs.
You know, it was, I think I said that to Fallon. Did I say that to Fallon yesterday? I don't remember. It was one of my cousins that I said it to yesterday, and they laughed. Anyway, all right, T. Now you want to talk about friends who act different in a relationship. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Oh, let me just be quiet. Go. right. So I just wanted to touch on it because I always like to get people's opinions about stuff like that because I've seen it. And so I've asked people, was I ever guilty of that? And everybody that I asked was a resounding no, you are not guilty of that. But I've seen it, and so I kind of, you know, pick people's brains, and I was asking, like, well, why do you think that people do that? You know, we have the friend that, you know, gets in a, you know, you talk to them almost every day, email and text, on social media, tagging each other, stuff like that. Then, and I don't think men do this, so I'm going to use the correct pronouns, and then she becomes in a relationship with whomever, you know, and all of a sudden, she's off the map. She's off the grid. You don't hear anything. And it's just like, oh, you know, me and insert person are doing this and all of that. And so it's just like, well, now I'm TLC. What about your friends? You know, so I always am super curious to see what other people's perspective is on that. So, Fallon, what about that girl?
All right. So, I've experienced this on several occasions. On several occasions. And you know what? It was only the most recent that really hurt. So I have this girlfriend, and she's still one of my very best friends to this day. Thankfully, we got over that little hurdle. But, you know, she was definitely, I mean, you could damn near call her a sister wife. Like, she was at my house cooking, you know, she'd help me clean up, you know. I mean, like, we were tight. And this one, it's when I was with my ex. So she was like family, you know, she had become like family. And she was single at the time, like single and dating. And she'll know that I'm talking about her, but I'm not going to say nothing crazy. Anyway, she was single but dating, and then she finally got into something serious. And, you know, before I noticed, it was just like unreturned calls and, oh, I thought I texted you back. And this is, like I said, if I'm going to categorize her as damn near a sister wife, you guys can imagine how tight we were within my household even. So for it to go from that to, like, I didn't speak to her for days. She, you know, weeks turned into months before I saw her, like, trying to get together, like, oh, I got this, or he wants me to do this, and he wants me to do that, and he wants me to do this. And I'm just like, okay. And at some point, it started, like, I was like, okay, that's the newlywed, you know, feeling, that freshness, that excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, I gave her space because, I mean, truly, that's what it is. When you find somebody that's your person, it's like, you don't want to be around anybody else, especially having been single for so long. So I gave her space for quite a while. But then I think way too many holidays hit, and I was just like, hold up. Now, I got something to say. I got something to say. You know, and like I said, thankfully we were able to get over that. But I think that's really fucked up. I think that, you know, because here I am thinking, like, You damn near had clothes in my house, and now I can't even get you to return a call. Like, do you know if I'm going through? Do you need? Do you know if I need a check-in? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know why I was calling? I could have been bawling, crying, losing my mind when I called. And you ain't called back for 6 days. You know, so it was a point where, like I said, it started hurting. But I did have to do some soul searching myself with that because I realized that maybe I depended on her too much. You know what I'm saying? Or maybe I had just gotten really comfortable in that space. So there is some self-reflection that is necessary and encouraged in that situation. But at the end of the day, you know, she did admit to her wrong and, you know, admit to her lack of attention to our friendship. And like I said, we've moved over, gotten over it. But I think that we also don't realize where people stand in their love meter. Like, I could have been giving her all the love in the world as a friend, and her family could have been giving her all the love in the world as a, you know, family member. But that intimate love is a whole nother level. So once you do find that intimate love, like I said, it's like, that's all I want. It's like a drug. It's like a habit. You know, you gotta have it. You gotta be around it. You want it. So, I mean, I know that I've never been that person because I am down for a girl's night almost any time. So I've never been that person where I change within a relationship. You know, I might be off the grid for a minute, but typically y'all know me. If I'm off the grid, that means I don't want to be bothered. That don't have nothing to do with y'all. That means maybe I need to sort some things out. Maybe I got a little heaviness going on, but it's typically never to do with a relationship situation or a new relationship, at least. So, yeah, that's how I feel.
What about you, Vic?
You know, it's crazy when I think about that because for me, my friendships mean a lot to me. I definitely feel like your friendships do change, like how often, like I was saying, like you talk to your people when you're in relationships does kind of change. But I think sometimes women have a problem of kind of putting their friends to the wayside. Like men don't feel the need to make these same sacrifices. And to me, as I've observed that over the years, I realize how important it is to keep your circle because, you know, it's always good to have like a home base. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have, like, your people that you can always go to and talk to, and they know you and your context. See, like, a lot of times, you know, when you get with someone, they're learning a brand new you. They don't know, like, how you grew up or who's been around you or why you think the way you think and why you do the things that you do. And your friendships know that, especially if you really invested the time and effort. And I also feel like men don't ask us to do this. This is us doing this. You know, so I've always felt like I need to make sure that I maintain those relationships because I know that I still need them and they still need me. And that if this doesn't work out, I'm still going to want to be in their lives. You know what I'm saying? Whether he's there or not there, they hold a special place to me. So, you know, that's so important to me. But I've noticed that over the years that happens so much. And I don't know why we feel that pressure to be like, well, if I don't spend all my time over here, he's going to feel a certain type of way, and I need to forget about these people over here. You know what I'm saying? And there are some men that don't like for you to have friends. Like, they don't. And I don't think, to me, that's indicative of a problem with him, not a problem with you. Like, you can't, like, ignore your relationship. Like, that's a problem, too. Some people, they just kind of ignore their friendships. I mean, ignore their relationships because they like, well, I'd really rather be with my homies. Then I feel like you got to reassess how you work in relationships and is this somebody you really want to be with. But there should be a way to, like, maintain a balance, you know? So that's kind of where I stand on it.
I like that.
I love that, Vic.
Bring us on home, Heather.
Okay. We have to have a balance. We do. We have to have a balance in our relationship, right? And I think that everything can be cleared up with a conversation, okay? So, yes, there's that honeymoon stage in a relationship where you guys are inseparable, right? You guys are on the phone all the time. You guys are spending time all the time. You guys are having sex all the time, right? And you all are just attached at the hip. You don't come up for air. But I do feel like because we are older, we're not in our teens and 20s anymore. We are getting older, late 30s, early 40s. We absolutely have to have a balance because we need that girlfriend time, right? Like Fallon said, you need that I need a girl's night out, right? I'm down for a girl's night out. I just want to kick it with my girls. Babe, I'm going to come back home to you. I'm going to go where you are, either when I'm done or the next day. I'm still going to be bae, right? Me going out for a night or two does not change my bae status. And I feel like sometimes with females, this is on the extreme level of it. I feel like sometimes with females, because we always just want to make sure that we're doing everything the right way. And then to go a step further, females want to make sure that their man isn't doing anything wrong. So I feel like a lot of times that's why she wants to be up under him too. I could be wrong, but these are my true feelings. You want to make sure that that brother is not doing anything wrong. So the reason why you are up under him like that, where you're so clingy to him, where you ignore your friends or you shade your friends because you want to be with him so badly, is because you're watching him. There's a difference between me watching you and me wanting to spend time with you because I'm breathing your air. Those are two different things.
Totally agree.
And I think we
can furthermore, if you got to watch him. No, I'm sorry.
And what you doing?
Say, if you got to watch him like that, hell, why are you with him? You need to reevaluate the situation anyway, but that's another show.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
That's another show. And to add to that, he may not even be doing anything. He may be a stand-up guy. He may be like really cool, you know, and babe, go out with your friends. It's okay. Go out with your friends. Have a good time. I'll be here when you get back. But because you're a nut. No, baby, I just want to stay with you. You know, all this and that, and it's like, you know what? You're going to drive yourself crazy and drive him crazy. And I'm like, you know, like what all of you all have said and seem to agree upon, our friendships are still very important to us, right? Bae is bae all day.
All day,
but our friendships are still important because this is part of our lifeline. And we're going to get into lifeline-type friendships / sisterhood in a second with Fallon, but I feel like we can't lose sight of what our friendships mean to us. We cannot lose sight of that. And if sometimes that means taking a break to reevaluate, right, you got to think about it. Because you have to be able to pour into all of your relationships. I'm not going to say that you pour in most of your blood, sweat, and tears into your friendship as opposed to, you know, your bae-ship. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there has to be a balance. It doesn't have to be an equal balance because, again, bae is bae. Like she said, bae is bae all day. However, you got to give your girlfriend some play, too. You do.
Yeah.
It's really important. It's super, super, super important. And whoever you are with, if they're a good person and if they support you, they will understand that. But also, women, you have to understand that about the men, too. But I'm going to digress on that. I'll digress. Y'all just got to understand that the brothers, sometimes they have to go out and they have to have guys' night.
Yes, give them that grow time.
They need that time. They need that time to not do anything but talk shit with their friends. Have a couple drinks. Maybe he wants to talk about you. I don't know. Whatever they want to talk about, they can talk about. But let them do it. And we don't always have to be up under them when they're doing it. Again, another topic, another discussion, another show. So our last topic tonight is, this is Fallon's topic. And I think this is going to be a beautiful topic because this kind of brings all of this together. And it is, what does sisterhood really mean?
Wow. Okay. Sisterhood, as I said earlier, my sister is this, we've always been two peas in a pod. There's times that I'm the big sister. There's times that, you know, I'm the little sister, and we just trade that back and forth until we get through whatever we're going through, or, you know, tackle whatever's in front of us. And I think I did do a little research. I was just looking for, you know, some quotes that would match my energy here. And the one that I found was, "Sisters are different flowers from the same garden." And I thought that was just very dope, because that would, to me, explain, you know, you were raised, or you're cut with the same cloth. You have the same values and beliefs, and same doesn't have to mean to the same extent, but, you know, you're gathered at the same idea of thinking, 9 times out of 10, but you're different. I mean, for instance, I'm 5'2", my sister's like 5'7", so you're still different in your own unique ways, but, you know, you're cut from that same cloth, and especially in our family, we have a bunch of women, like, our cousin night is, like, at least 12 deep, and we're all around the same age. Is that about right, 12, cousin? About 12 of us, if everybody shows up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it's not very many relationships, I think, within my life that I can call my sister, because sister doesn't always come in the form of blood. I think we all know that. We all would call each other sisters, you know, in some capacity. And I think that it's just important that we acknowledge that there's a code that comes with sisterhood. There's a definite code. I feel like calling someone a friend is lower than calling someone a sister.
Hallelujah.
Because calling someone a sister and allowing you to allowing them to give you that title as well, or even just feeling those feelings for that woman, is a place of honor, I believe. That means I know you got my back 100 grand. I know you do. Hey, girl, listen. I killed this nigga. Okay, so what we gonna do? My sister gonna be like, bitch, I got you. Where you at?
Yeah.
We gonna get off the phone.
Get off the phone, because they got the towers. We pinging off the
get
towers.
Get off the phone, first of all.
Right.
Go buy a burner phone, first of all.
Right.
So, I mean, I just think that there's a different level of responsibility with a sister versus someone that you call a friend. And now, true enough, especially probably within our circle and your own personal individual circles, it is interchangeable depending on, you know, how tight that friendship is, sisterhood and friendship. But I do just, like I said, I think we should acknowledge what responsibility comes with sisterhood, because there's a sister, for me, a woman that I would call my sister, I would trust with my child.
Right.
And I can't say I trust all my friends with my child.
No.
Not that precious lamb
over there, okay?
Not that precious lamb, baby, okay? Not the prince, okay? So I just feel so mushy talking about it, and I definitely feel for women that do not have sisters. And I found myself unconsciously being nicer to them for some reason. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Maybe, you know, it's just what God drops in my little spirit. But I do feel like I lend a more open ear or a bigger shoulder to women that don't have sisters, because it's just really, really nothing like that bond, whether it be blood or not. And another reason, side note, that's why I kind of got 2 more years to have a baby, because I want Nicholas to have a sibling and he doesn't have a sibling. Okay, but I digress. I'll get back to the sisterhood. Anyway.
Oh,
we can get that into another. Oh my God, Jesus, no, you didn't. Okay, inside joke. So I do want to hear how you guys feel about sisterhood versus, you know, a friendship. So how about you, Heather? You want to kick us off?
Sisterhood is extremely vital to me. You guys know, like, my situation as far as, you know, being adopted by my grandma, who ended up being my mom, and having sisters who were really my aunts that weren't my sisters, and then having a biological sister. So a very complicated situation. I'm sure I just confused every listener out here who does not know my story. They were like, what? You know, just confused everyone out here. And me and my biological sister, we did not start to even really deal like that, like on a super, super personal level until recently. Before then, we weren't dealing like that. It would be off and on. We would go years and years without seeing or talking to one another. So I did develop some sisterhood relationships, and I would say that, and I made a Facebook post about my sisters recently. It was probably like a couple weeks ago, and I have sisters that are my sisters for different reasons, okay? So, like, Vicky is my writer. Vicky does not care. Mm-hmm. I don't care what time it is, where it is, what I need, how much it costs. Vicky is going to be there, no questions asked.
Aww.
Okay, so Vicky is my writer, okay?
Little Vicky.
He is my get your ass together person. Baby, if I call T and if I have an issue and T does not agree with me, get your ass together. What I say now? What?
Right.
Oh, just like that.
Right.
He says it just like that.
What I say now?
I done told you.
Now you better get off my goddamn phone. Like, T is that.
T is that for me.
I would say Fal is my encourager.
Aww.
So Fallon, even though she gets on my nerves, Fallon is going to encourage me.
Fallon makes me drink.
Encourage me to know. Absolutely. There is no situation that I could go through where Fallon is not going to pick me up off the ground.
Aww.
Remember who you are. She's my remember who you are person, right? Crystal, which is Fallon's sister, is my make it make sense person. Well, make it make sense, right? She's that reality in your face, Angie. You know.
Right, she is in
is
your
this
face.
And this is that, right? And then I would say my last sister is my little Houston bestie, Dylan Settle. Dale is my prayer warrior. So Dale is going to be up laboring for me at 2 in the morning, and I promise you guys it's happened on so many different occasions. And then when I wake up and I feel something in my spirit, I'll text her, and she'll be like, I was just praying for the same thing. I feel like all my bases are covered. So if there's anybody who is trying to be my sister or is trying to get sister status, if y'all can't trump these people, I don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you. In addition, and before I get off my soapbox, in addition, all of these people encourage Abaishib. I just want to put it out there. They all encourage Abaishib. They are never going to say they want what I want. And
for
that's
sure.
What I feel like a sister does, too. Short of an abusive type of situation or relationship that you're in, your sisters encourage you. Your sisters pull for you. They fight for you, right? They help you sort things out. Well, maybe, hon, look at it from this perspective. Well, maybe it's not like this. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's like that, you know. So that's all I wanted to say. So I just wanted to give you guys that bit of information if you guys didn't know.
So sweet.
Oh,
the feel.
Okay, how about tea? Let's roll.
Similar. All of my friends, I love them all dearly. I love all of y'all dearly, and each one, you know, has their, I don't want to say purpose, but I know how I have to handle Frost as opposed to handle Beta. I don't know why I'm struggling with that. You know what I mean? I know how I could talk to Heather as opposed to how I could talk to Vicky. You know what I mean? So as our friendship is growing on this side, you know, I'm learning different things, you know, about, you know, everyone's temperament and, you know, who does what and who gonna go this far and stuff like that. So everybody has their own lane with me. You know, I'm not going to necessarily talk to Frost about a particular situation because that's out of her lane. So I'm going to call Natasha. You know what I mean? So that's how I operate.
Right.
And then I have my one friend, Mika, is all encompassing. So me covering it all, period. You know, and me.
We love you, Meek.
For sure.
Shout out to my Meek. So, you know, Meek is my absolute everything, you know, and same, you know, that's how I operate. So those are literally, you know, it just so happens that one of those people, my little bug, is my blood sister, you know. So, you know, and that's just the way that we were raised and everything like that. But that's how my sisterhood functions, and that's why I say to call you that, either sister or sister cousin, you know, that's it on period. You know, anything else, friend, acquaintance, and things like that, I don't even really refer to, you know, my sister circle as friends. I refer to you as such, sister, cousin, that's it. If you get the title sister anywhere in there, then you in a whole different bracket than the acquaintances and networks and all of that. So that's how tea rolling.
I love it, T. Where you standing, Vicky?
I just want to say that when I was given the title of sister cousin, I really felt like I graduated. Like, I really felt like the things that happened.
Oh, my God.
I just want to say.
I just want to say out there, I never was able to get my acceptance speech out, but now I'm feeling it. You know what I'm saying?
So feeling it. And that's just the thing. Like, you could, I mean, and I don't know, well, obviously people wouldn't know. I am sister cousins with Fal and Vicky by default through Heather. People don't understand that just because your sister introduces you to somebody, you ain't got to like them. You know, you can just deal with them when you see them at the events and at the functions, and it just be that. But every time I got with these ladies, everything was so genuine. It was so sweet. I always felt welcomed, you know. And then when we started talking outside of everything, I'm like, okay, this feels good, you know. And Fallon, baby, is always going to give me a tickle. I can't have a serious conversation with Fallon. I just
all the way live. All the way live, all the time, man.
I ain't got there yet.
It's so funny.
We ain't got there yet, you know, but, you know, it's been my extreme pleasure, you know. And I told them, and I expressed this, you know, I don't use those terms lightly. So, you know, that's just it. What they say, period.
Period, poo.
Right.
This is the fact. You know, and it's like, in all seriousness, especially because I'm an only child, my relationship means so much more. And sisterhood,
sorry.
I know. You know what? I take a lot of ownership in the only child thing. But I do. I will say that I feel like when people are your sisters, there's people who ride for you and fight for you, even when you can't fight for yourself. And I think that my interactions with these ladies on here and a couple other people that are really close to me, they've done that and they proved that. And they stepped in when I needed sisters, you know, like, and I'm not going to get emotional. You know what I'm saying? Me and Heather have rolled through some things together. And she held my hand when I really couldn't even think or see straight. And, you know, when she introduced me to these ladies, like, I ain't gonna hold you. The only one who thought the power was Fallon. She was like, you know what? You just gonna make me like you. I see how it is.
I definitely said that.
But I value that, like, people who I call my sisters, I can come to them with everything. I could come with them with, like, the real me. And I think I'm, like, very transparent, but it's good to know that the people who are your sisters, you could be 100 with, like, beyond, like, just being, like, I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is a real sister. You know what I'm saying? And that, you know, when I was younger, I used to be so worried about, like, well, I don't have sisters, so I'm never going to have that. You know, but God will put you in circles and with people,
baby,
who will step in and be those people for you. And so, like, that's just my thing, that, like, it's really about who's going to step up for you and who you can step up for and how y'all could be sisters to each other. So that's my thing.
Mm-hmm. I love that, Vic. And I do think the word that covers what you were saying would be, like, bare. You can be completely naked with your sister, completely naked. There's some friends that,
yeah,
I would say, it's just like T, you were saying, it's certain things you talk about with certain friends, and there's a certain vulnerability that also comes with that, where it's like, oh, well, you know, maybe she ain't never seen me falling out crying on the floor. Maybe I shouldn't do that to her today. But, you know, you got her
right.
Sister over there that's like, okay, I'm spazzing out. SOS. You know,
right.
it's just a total ability to be so naked where, you know, she might call you raggedy. Like, stop being raggedy and get your life together. Or
right.
She might wipe your tears and still call you raggedy.
Right.
But,
wow,
you know, you
tears.
Can just, while wiping the tears, get on this damn tissue, raggedy ass. I mean, that's
right.
A sister thing to say. So, so I think that is a great point you made, Vicky.
Yeah, I think, like, The moral I feel of this story is it is really, really important to have those sisterhood type of friendships. And ladies, if you don't have a sisterhood type of friendship by the time you're in our age group, I would say you probably need to evaluate some things. I just want to put that out there. Because there
That's
has
true.
To be a reason for it.
It's
even
not
if
everybody
you
else.
Just have one. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just
mm-hmm.
have one, right?
Yeah.
I'm a guarded person. I'm a guarded person. I don't vibe with everybody. I don't gel with everyone. But people know this.
Right, because you don't talk to
but
people
the
in the grocery store. Right.
I don't know. But the mere fact, and it's funny because I talk my entire life every day. I talk for my job, I talk for media, and I love to do it then. It's just outside of that, you have to be a very special person to me for me to want to talk to you.
Sure.
That's just a Heather thing. But I will say again, ladies, evaluate that. That is something important to have because, honey, you may be faced with a life situation. You can't walk through everything alone. You cannot. It's impossible. It weakens you. It weakens you.
Yeah.
There were some days that I felt like I was not going to be able to get past the situation I was in. And I knew that when I contacted my sister friends or if they, and T is really good at this, I would say probably the best outside of Dale. T, when T feels like something is going on with me, she gonna send the eyeballs. I promise
exactly.
You, every time. I may not talk to T, and T and I pretty much communicate daily, some way, shape, form, or fashion. But it may be like a few days that she hasn't heard from me, that she's like, wait a minute, what's happening? I may not have been saying anything too much on social media. Well, I'm extremely quiet. Then she starts to get a little nervous, like, what are we doing? What do we have going on? You know what I'm saying? But I would definitely say that you need a friend like that. You absolutely need someone who is going to be like, all right, girl, what's happening today? Or sisters who are going to celebrate you, celebrate your successes. And I'm telling you this right now. If you don't have people in your life that celebrate your successes when you share good news with them, and they're not almost more excited about it than you are,
I'm telling you
got to get a new circle. You have to. There is no time that I could hear something about one of my sister friends, including Fallon, who's my cousin, and not jump
in. So I got a triple whammy. Boom, boom, boom.
Absolutely, because we're blood, absolutely. So my thing is, when are we going to celebrate? When are we going to party? What do we need to do for this? What do we, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes people are like, wait, I haven't even gotten that far yet. And it's like, no, but as my core person, that's how I feel for you.
Right.
So this was an awesome, awesome episode. It went longer than we assumed. It did. It went longer than we assumed. But I know that there were some things that we had to get out, and had to discuss, and some explanations and clarifications had to be made. So I want you guys to tell the people where they can find you, and let's start with Vicky.
All right. So you can find me on Instagram as PrettySweetV85. Hit me up. I want to hear your thoughts.
And Fallon.
Fallon is under Jada F. Ray on Instagram and Facebook. T, I do not need your comment. And that is what I have for the folks.
And that's Jada with a Y. So it's J-A-Y.
That is Jada F. Ray. Yes, J-A-Y-D-A. You gotta go off the grid. Can't be too searchable.
And where can the people find you?
People can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @itstea_time_podcast for all the things It's Tea Time Podcast. If you want to take a peek into my personal space on Instagram, it's 42dope_soulsis. That's me, y'all.
As for myself on Facebook, I am Heather D. That's D-E-E. On IG, I am Hez, HEATHDEE 16. Our Facebook and Instagram pages for In the Thick is In the THAHICK because it's ethnic. And y'all, I just want to plug one more time this Sunday. This Sunday is a very special day for me because I am recording a series called The Roundtable, right? My first episode of the pilot is going to be recorded on Sunday. This one is about marriages in the Black community. I'm just like, I'm floored. It's going to get deep. So we are going to have a roundtable discussion. We have a group of men, we have a group of women, and we are going to let it fly. Okay? Okay.
So happy for you, Bull.
Thank you. So we love you guys. We love our listeners. You guys are what makes this show happen. Can you guys agree?
For sure.
Touch and agree. Ain't that what Pastor said? Touch and agree.
Right.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. One more thing. Like the bishop today on my friend called him Bishop Blaze. My friend called him Bishop Blaze.
That's so accurate.
The inauguration. Now, one thing he said was, "We gather under the beauty of your holiness, and the holiness of your beauty." I didn't know what else to say after that. He lost me. Once he said that, I was done. And then he got to the mighty name of Jesus, and that was it. Honestly,
he juiced up them 8 curls, and he was ready.
Yes. For sure. All right, ladies. Well, we are going to go. Thank you again for joining and listening to the In the Thick podcast and talk show. Until next time, y'all have a good night.